Welcome back to another edition of Stars Radio, your short track auto racing source. A production of Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Well, folks, we got a lot to talk about. We had some great racing at Dillon Motor Speedway this past weekend, and we're going to recap how everything went down there. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I've been going to Dillon Motor Speedway for a long time, and I got to think this is probably one of the biggest crowds I have ever saw. We flew a drone and took some pictures and stuff, and you have to check out some of the pictures. I just posted one over on the homepage at Racers Reunion. Go check it out there. It's, the parking lot is slam-packed full. The pits was over full. To the point that they had to park cars on the outside of the track, and then they had to cross over into the track when it was time for their race or practice. So it was just fantastic to see a crowd down there. Just beautiful, beautiful weather we had. It was about 70 degrees or so on Saturday for the race, about 75, 80 on Friday, man. It was plumb hot on Friday. And we had some great, fantastic racing there at the track. But I want to take the opportunity to recognize the winner of the New Year's Bass Street Stock portion, the only three-time winner. We want to welcome Gary Ledbetter Jr. to Stars Radio. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's definitely our pleasure there, Gary. Man, I got to tell you, you know, we had great racing down there at Dillon Motor Speedway. Before we get going good and talk about the race weekend, for our listeners that maybe not familiar with who Gary Ledbetter Jr. is, fill us in a little bit about your racing background and bring us up to the New Year's Bash.
Well, I started back probably when I was 17. My dad got me into doing it. He asked me if I wanted to try it one time. I said, yeah, and I fell in love with it ever since then. And it's hard to quit doing it. Mainly my dad, he's the main one that got me racing. And then I fell in with this fella named Patrick. He owns the car now, and he spends all the money on it. And that helps me out. But other than that, I've just been street stock racing about my whole life. And it's one of the best classes I think there is to watch and run.
It sure is. I mean, you know, and the fans truly love this street stock class because a lot of our older fans can relate to this. You know, this was pretty much the late models of the 70s and the 80s. You know, those of us that's been around long enough to remember those racing days. And I think that's why a lot of the fans can relate to the street stock of today's racing world. And, man, you know, you guys, you hooked up with Patrick Coggins there, and y'all brought a beautiful race car to the track. And not only was it a pretty race car, it was very fast. Race car. Tell us a little bit about your practice day on Friday.
Well, Friday we had some practice tires there, and it was just everything went good. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better weekend, really. I mean, we didn't know how the race was going to turn out, but I knew it was going to be good because the longer we run the car, the better it got. And like I said, it never fell off or nothing like that. It just kept the same speed in it. I knew we weren't going to qualify good. We actually qualified better than I thought we would. And I knew if we had green flag laps, we would be there at the end to try to contend for the win.
Well, you mentioned that you didn't think you was going to qualify good because it took a few laps for your car to come in. I know I was helping the two car, Ryan Pinchuk, and we were kind of in the same boat. We kind of thought the same thing, but I think with the sun coming out right before qualifying got started good and warmed the track up a little bit, I think that helped everybody a little bit in that qualifying aspect because we were kind of the same situation. It took us anywhere from 5 to 10 laps before the tires really started coming in. I mean, you'd be a half a second off on your first or second lap compared to what you were on your 10th lap.
Oh, yeah. It was like that the whole day Friday, and it was just, I mean, I know it was 3.5 tenths off the pole, so you would think, you know, 3.5 tenths in a street stock's usually huge. But I knew, like, so long as we had some green flag laps, I didn't know we'd win, but I knew we'd be right there, have a chance to win anyway. But like I said, we was fortunate enough for it all. It ended up being a real good weekend.
Well, Gary, we were on a little bit different tire than what we're used to, running that F40 tire instead of the F45 that we're accustomed to running with the street stock cars. What was your opinion on the tire overall?
I think it was a pretty good tire. I mean, We practiced with some F-45s about 3 weeks ago, and then, like I say, whenever we put them on down there Friday, I really couldn't tell much difference in them, really. Everybody said they was the same compound, but I don't know if it was, I think they said a harder sidewall. I mean, our car liked both sets, really. Couldn't tell no difference in changing them. And they lasted the whole race. We had the same four tires on the whole race. So, I mean, they wore good and was pretty fast.
And, you know, that was one thing that we were impressed with is the wear on them. You know, I was really surprised because when we run the 45s, normally if you run the same four tires the whole 100 laps, your right sides, you know, showed a little bit of wear on them, you know, towards the end of the race. But them 40s, they seemed like they held up really, really well.
Yeah, you know, when we went and practiced with the 45s, now that you mentioned that, we put over 100 laps on them tires there, and they wore down pretty good. I mean, they was pretty wore out when we got done, and them F-40s after the race, we probably could have run another 100 laps with them.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, Patrick. I looked at several different sets of tires, different drivers and stuff, you know, and I was really, really impressed with that. You guys, you unloaded fast on Friday. I know the stopwatch was on, you know, certain cars and everything. And, you know, you guys were definitely one of the faster cars in Friday practice. Everybody was watching you and obviously your dad driving the car that you drove before. And the 12 car, little Ricky and Jeff Melton and Sonny. And then, you know, everybody thought Barnes would be fast, which he was. So it was a good group of cars. You know, there was 10 really fast cars in practice on Friday, and you guys was right there in the mix of all that.
Yeah, this is probably the stiffest year that I've seen since we've been going down there. I mean, I've been told Patrick, I said, there's 10 to 15 cars that can win this race. And really the race, there wasn't no more cautions. It was, and we run nose to tail. I mean, the top four or five, we run within a half straightaway the whole race, and that was pretty surprising to me because usually, you know, after you get to going, there's usually one or two cars to kind of check out, usually, but it wasn't the case, certainly.
Absolutely. Well, how did this deal come up with you and Patrick hooking up? I know you drove the 32 car, which is a family car, there for a while, and was it just something that you and Patrick hooked up, or did you and your dad have to arm wrestle to see who was going to drive a 32 car?
No, not really. It's just something that came about, and Patrick was wanting to build a new car, and he asked me if I'd drive it, and I told him, yeah, we'll build one, and we'll go practice, and if it's fast, I'll drive it. And like I said, we went practice, and it was fast enough, I thought. So we just started tweaking on it, and I got to thank Brandon Davis is the main one I got to thank for that car. He helped build it with Patrick there, and he's pretty smart guy about setting up a car, and he was one of the main reasons it was so fast.
Well, like you said, you know, they had a great group of guys running there. You know, Frankie Kimball bought a brand new car down there, and then you had Chucky Barnes, and you had a couple other guys come in from out of town. I know Jim Boyle was in there. Had a couple guys from upstate New York. We had a couple come up out of Florida. So anytime you can get cars from Maine to Florida to come there and race, that's some of the best street stocks you got up and down the East Coast and a little bit of the Midwest.
Yes, I was very impressed with the car count, too. When we left Friday, I actually told Patrick, I said, the car we're going to have to build beat's going to be the 44 car, Chuck Barnes. I said, that's the car. Because I watched him all day Friday. He steadily got faster and better all day long. And like I said, then he ended up qualifying second. And I told him, I said, that's who we're going to have to beat. Because, I mean, whenever a car unloads and just steadily gets faster the whole day, he's usually going to be pretty good in the race.
That's right. Well, you know, there was a picture on social media that I saw Friday night. They had that car broke down at their hotel up underneath the canopy there, working on it. I believe they was doing a gear change or something other on it. But, you know, that's old school right there. You know, that's what everybody used to do if you were racing out of town, is you found somewhere, your hotel or wherever, to go work on your race car. And, you know, you got to give it to them guys that, you know, they could have just said, well, we'll just wait till we get back to the track in the morning. But instead, they took the car back to the hotel and started working on it.
Yeah, I seen that same picture. Yeah, them guys was pretty, they really, really nice sellers too, and they knew what they was doing too. Because I mean, I think they was telling me they changed everything under the front end. That in that picture, they were changing all the front suspension and stuff, trying to make it better. And it worked. Whatever they did to it, it made it better.
It sure did. And you know, Chuck Jr. run very well, but you know, he's like you there, Gary. You know, he's got a dad that's been racing for a long time, and you know, gathers a lot of knowledge from his dad, you know, through over the years. And I'm sure you've been the same way with Gary Sr. I've been watching your dad race for a very long time, and you know, he's one of the nicest persons there is out at the racetrack. You know, always there to shake your hand with a smiling face. It's great to see a family group or organization racing like that.
Oh yeah, my dad, like I say, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even be. I tell people all the time, when I first started racing, he had already figured out the hard stuff. You know, all I had to figure out how to do was turn left and tell him what the car was doing. And that's all I had to do. I mean, everything else he'd done figured out the setups and stuff. So it came pretty easy for me. I just figured out how to turn left and got better at it as the more I did it.
Well, Gary, do you guys plan on running any other races here in 2017 with that 48 car, or you guys just going to be stuck to maybe running the Mass Series?
Right now, I think the Mass Series is pretty much, he's going to try to run every one of them, and we're probably going to hit some races here and there that we can, if everything, you know, my schedule and his schedule works out. We'll probably run more than just the Mass races, I'm sure, because when we get going, it's hard to stop.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, we got a big race coming up at Bristol in May, and then one in the first weekend in July. We go to Loudoun, New Hampshire, and I talked to Mike, the tech official there at the track a little bit Saturday, and was talking a little bit about rules for the Loudoun race, and he said it was going to be very competitive to what we run down here with the Mass Series. So I was just wondering if you or if you know of any teams from down in this area that making a plan to head up that way for that weekend, because that's a once-in-a-lifetime chance to go run on a cup track.
Exactly. I ain't heard of nobody, but the Bristol race, Patrick had mentioned it to me when we was building that car, and I'm all game for it. It's up to him, but I don't know. I mean, you have to look at the rules and see where we fall in line there. If we could be competitive, I think we would go, but like I say, I don't know what the rules and all in line for them type of races are.
Well, excuse me. The CRA is going to be the sanctioning body, from what I understand, for the street stocks there at Bristol. I had a conversation with one of those folks up there a couple weeks ago, and was talking about, you know, what kind of rule package they was going to run, and he knows if he's going to get cars from down in the Carolinas, he can't have a restrict CRA rule package because they're allowed to run that 406 motor in their series. So he said that they was going to be doing some testing and figuring out something for the guys that's got some crate motors to figure out, you know, weights, what we need to do, carburetor. I know we went up there with Frank Kimmel with his series, and we ran a crate motor up there, and you know, with the big carburetor on it. As long as you can keep, you know, run on the high side and keep your motor wound up, but the crate motor didn't run that bad there. Biggest thing that we saw with the crate motor, if you ever run up on a slower car or had a problem passing a car and you lost your momentum, man, it took so many laps to get it built back up.
I think that's the biggest. If they could figure out a way to make the crate motor pretty competitive, I mean, I think they would get a ton of cars, because, I mean, a lot of people, they hear that 406 and they're like, well, ain't no way I could compete with that. But if they could make them where we could compete with them, we would probably go.
Yeah, I think that they're going to work with us and make it where we can go. And I know the guys up at Bob Guptill and them guys up there at Loudoun, they're definitely going to make something, make a common set of rules where the guys from down here can go up there. I'm not sure how many guys will go, because that's a pretty long haul up there. But again, you know, if it's a, you know, where you can think you can be competitive, I think you'll see a good crowd up there. I think you'll probably see at least 10 teams from down here or so to make that trip up there. I'm looking forward, whether I go with a team or not, I just want to go watch the street stocks up there, because I think that's going to be a great race, just like I think Bristol's going to be a fantastic race.
Oh yeah, they're gonna both gonna be real good. I'm pretty sure though. I mean they know what they're doing, so they'll probably figure it out. I mean, they'll probably have 60, 70 cars. And I hope they do, and I hope we won them if they make it competitive enough.
That's exactly right. Well, you mentioned you guys may go and run a few more races other than the mass races. What tracks you think y'all be running at there, Gary?
We might, Southern Nationals going to have a couple races for us. We might go try Myrtle Beach and run, you know, try to run with their Charger division just to get some lap time. I don't know how we'll run against them, but just several, I mean, Lonesome Pine, we think about going up there. Kingsport, Tennessee, we've been up there a couple times. Hey, just several places that, you know, that Masters don't run every week, and you got options to run other places whenever you ain't got to run every week.
That's right, and you know, to me, that's a good selling point on the Mass Series is you don't have to try to run every week. You got that that schedule that kind of spreads everything out a little bit. So if you got an issue, you need to work on your car, you got time. But also, if you want to go run another Saturday night track somewhere, you can. And I think going to Southern National and Myrtle Beach and Lonesome Pine, Kingsport, I think that's great racetracks to go at. I've been and raced at every one of them, so really love every one of them, except for maybe Myrtle Beach. That's a track that wears out a lot of tires, so it's about tire management down there, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I've seen a lot of races down there, and usually the one that can save the tires wins the race. But yeah, like I said, I love racing everywhere. I have a ball one for one, and like I said, we usually most of the time we unload kind of competitive, and that's when it makes it more fun whenever you can compete for the win.
That's exactly right. Well, Gary, I know Patrick helps you on the car, and you got some more people that helps you on the car. I'd like to give all our guests an opportunity to recognize those folks that's turning the wrenches, burning that midnight oil, and getting the race cars ready to go to track. And I know y'all guys had a few sponsors on the race car. I'd like to give you an opportunity to recognize some of those. So why don't you go ahead and take a moment and recognize some of those folks.
Okay. I'd like to thank Mark Dyer with NGI Graphics. He's one that decal it for us, and it made that silver come to life pretty good. Like I say, Patrick, obviously, he owns it and everything. Brandon Davis, he helps quite a bit. Rollover Racing, Tony Hancock, he helped us a little bit this year. Andrew Barker, he come and helped Friday and Saturday. Junior Wilson, he was another one that helped Friday and Saturday. And there's a guy named Robert, I don't know his last name, but he helped Friday and Saturday also. And Clyde Johnson, he was down there Saturday to help. And it ain't very many, just a handful, but that's all we needed, I reckon, because, I mean, like I say, with a street stock car, there ain't really much maintenance on them when you get to the racetrack. If you do everything, we do everything we can do in the garage, so we ain't got to work all weekend anyway. We try to anyway.
That's exactly right. Well, I got a question. Where did the trophy go? Did it go to your house or go to Patrick's house?
I let Patrick have this one. I got the last one I got the last two we got, and I let Patrick have this one.
Well, somebody had sent me a message here and asked me which place the trophy went to. So
it went to Sanford, North Carolina.
Well, you know, you did a great job down there, Gary, and you know, hats off to you guys. Looking forward to seeing y'all guys race with the Mass Series some more. I know I'll be around most of the Mass races. I don't miss too many of them. I'll come up and shake your hand, introduce myself. You'll probably recognize me. You see me at the track. I've been hanging around for quite a few years at the racetrack. So I want to thank you for taking time and joining us on the show tonight. And anytime you want to come back on here, if you got a sponsor you want to promote or just got something you want to talk about, give me a shout. You got my number, and we'll get you scheduled on here and talk about whatever you need to talk about.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. And, folks, we'll have a link up a little bit later on this afternoon where you can go back and listen to the night show if you missed it or you missed part of it. Is Gary still with us there, Jeff?
No.
Okay. All right. I just had another question that I needed to ask him. Somebody sent me, but I'll find out for sure what the answer to that question is. I want to give a big shout-out to the folks from G-Shock Watches. They donated watches to the first five finishers in the street stock division. And I just wanted to make sure that Patrick had got his, or not Patrick, that Gary had got his watch. These guys from G-Shock come on board and sponsored Ryan Pinchik's car this past weekend, and also give out these watches. And, you know, what a great deal. You know, these G-Shock watches, these ain't no $25 Walmart watches. These are super nice watches. I seen quite a few of them this past weekend. So we'll find out for sure whether Gary got his or not. Folks, we're going to give a rundown of all the classes there at Dillon Motor Speedway this past weekend. In the Pro 4 cylinder class, $600 to win event, Kevin Jackson was your winner. Chris Heto was second. Brittany Cochran was third. Michael Rouse was fourth. James Krieger was fifth. Mike Herron was sixth. Rennie Moore, seventh. Joseph Pittman was eighth, and he was the highest finisher front wheel drive. Michael Stone was ninth, and Adam Fulford rounded out the top 10, and they had 36 mini stocks. In the Mass Street Stock Division, Gary Ledbetter Jr. was the winner, followed by Ricky Locklear Jr., Chuck Barnes Jr., Bobby Thomaston Jr., Wayne Locklear, James Swan, Sonny Chopin, Kevin Ellis, Gary Ledbetter Sr., and Jeff Melton. And 31 cars started, but we had right at 50 cars total there. In the B main event for the Mass Street Stocks, Chris Doughton, they also know him as Moose, was your winner, followed by Ken Harper, Mike Worthington, Michael Atwell, Brandon Brown, Jesse Gleason, Scott Mann, Jamie Longley, and Rick Newman. And the, let's see, where are we going here next? The next class we have here is going to be the Charger Division. And Dale Driggers was your winner. Mike Gano was second. Michael O'Brien third. Jonathan Cornegay was fourth. Bobby Thomaston Jr. was fifth. Chris Vaughn was sixth. Randy Montgomery seventh. Brian Crump eighth. Jacob Williams ninth. And Shay Lane rounded out top 10, and they had 14 cars. In the Banger Division, Matt Carter was your winner, followed by Tasha Hito, Tracy Chopin, Robert Coons, Roy Marley, Daryl Rayner, John Hadleck, Dwayne Weatherford, Glenn Peterson, and Doug Penny rounded out your top 10. And they had 13 bangers. And that's a new division that Ron Barfield has there at Dillon Motor Speedway. And it's really took off here in the 2017 season. Again, folks, go check out the site there. I put a picture up of the taking with a drone over above the track, showing the infield and the parking lot, and just fantastic. I noticed some other pictures out there that people had of about five or six different drones there at the track, so go check those out. I want to give a shout out to our military unit of the week, and Jeff Gilder, you're going to get a kick out of this, and because these folks are from Camp Black Horse, which is in Kabul, Kandahar, Afghanistan. And they said that they listened to all three of our shows on Monday night and then your show on Tuesday night. But they also said they're big fans of the golf director there, Jeff. So big shout out to our guys at Camp Black Horse there in Kandahar, Afghanistan. So it's great. It sounds like they're big fans of all our shows there, Jeff, plus your golf director.
That's
so
great. That's great. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
So they're supposed to be sending me some videos of some of their golfing lessons that they have learned by listening to your show, Jeff. So we'll make sure we get those posted up on the site as soon as we get them. So.
That's great.
Just a great group of guys, and that come from Lieutenant Dogan. Didn't give me a first name. His last name is spelled D-O-G-A-N. It's Lieutenant Dogan, and he's with the U.S. Army Reconnaissance Division over there. So appreciate you guys tuning in and listening to the show. Remember, folks, you got Patrick Reynolds coming up at 7:30. And then you got Bill Pratt, Barb Santucci, and John Bachelman at the 8 o'clock hour. So you still got a whole bunch of Internet Talk Racing Radio coming up here. So don't go nowhere, folks. We'll see everybody back here next Monday night for another edition of Stars Radio, your short track auto racing source, a production of the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. one more last message. Happy birthday to our fearless leader, Mr. Jeff Gilder, whose birthday will be this coming Saturday, and that he will be